of introducing to you Ralph Storrs. Ralph is the Director of Media Development and Services for Trans World Radio. So he assists congregations and Christian ministries in developing technologies and efficiency in getting the gospel out. These are churches like ours and ministries like ours that want to reach the world with the gospel through the radio, through other media. And so he assists them, and he has been assisting us for many years in our attempt to reach the world with the gospel. Ralph is here to encourage us to share the word of God with us. And he may even say something about Japan, but we are working with Trans World Radio. We have been partners with Trans World Radio for over 30 years. So this has been a long relationship. And we have been able to do amazing things to God's glory. A large amount of it is credited to partnering with Trans World Radio as a fantastic Christian partner, parachurch ministry. And Ralph has been fantastic to help lead us into new developments and new things. There's always something going on. We have more in our minds we can't talk of yet. But Ralph is here to bring us encouragement and challenges in God's Word. And we thank you for being here. Let's welcome Ralph.
Well, good morning. And it is a pleasure to be here. Wow, 33 years. And I think just about all of those, maybe short of one, have been with Trans World Radio in over 42 languages and now moving into 43. This is a real blessing and also a challenge of going into the Japanese language. The culture, the self-sufficiency, the field of Japan has been a very hard field. And perhaps through this tsunami, maybe the ground now has been broken up, the fallow ground has been broken, and we are now prepared to put the seeds of the gospel and the seeds of the word into the people of Japan through radio. And it is a joy for us to partner with this congregation, the Word Today. And we'll, by God's grace, and as we continue to move forward with production, by October we will be on the air as we begin producing the program. So it is a blessing. I bring you greetings from our worldwide staff around the world in the 42-plus languages and over the 160 countries that TWR ministers in today. I bring you greetings from that worldwide staff, and I also bring you greetings from my family, my wife Tammy, and our three children. My daughter is Rachel, 26th, married to Jonathan. I have a 17-month-old grandson now, Jeremiah David, and they live 4.23 miles away from the house, and so I have the joy and the pleasure of seeing them on a very regular basis. My 20-year-old son, CJ, before I got on the plane yesterday morning on Friday evening, received an applied associate's degree in educational sign language interpretation and has a huge passion for the deaf people of the world and is now getting ready to embark and to move into missions opportunities to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are hearing impaired or deaf. And I also have a 9-year-old son, Caleb Joshua. Be careful what you name your children. At my age now, he is living up to his name. If you remember Caleb in the scriptures and Joshua, the spies, at 85 years of age, Caleb said, "My eyesight is still good. I still have my strength." And instead of taking the best of the land when it was offered to him, he climbed the mountain. And that is exactly what my son does today. So raising three generations of children, we actually have homeschooled all of our children. And by the time we finish, my wife will have 30 years of homeschooling in. And so we bring you greetings today. I was struck in particular by a passage. The name of my message today is Obey the Word Today. And in today's reading, I was particularly struck in 1 Peter. And it says, they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. I want you to hang on to that thought as we begin moving this morning through a journey of what does it mean to obey the Word of God. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives this challenge. He basically has given the entire keys to the kingdom and given the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of the time, he then breaks it down and he basically says, there's two choices. There's two foundations on which you're going to build your life upon. Says, he who hears these words of mine and does them, they are likened to the person who builds his house on a rock bed. And when the winds and the storms come, the house stands. And then in contrast to that, he immediately says, he who hears these same words of mine and doesn't act on them, doesn't obey them, thee will be like a person who builds his house on a sand, on a false foundation, a shifting foundation. And when the rains came, the same storms of the person who built it on the rock, when they came, that house falls flat. You know, we don't like the word obedience much today. Children don't particularly like to have their parents say, you need to be obeying me. We have taken the scriptural and the biblical term of obedience, and we've tried to water it down. If you feel like doing it, or to trust, and we've put other words and tried to substitute what the scripture plainly says when it comes to obeying God's word. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. Now, I'm looking at the parish and the congregation. I see there's some young folks. If you're 10 years of age or younger, I'd like you to stand for a moment. If you're 10 years or younger, just stand for 1 minute. Good. Anybody 8? Any of you 8? No, but you're all 10 or under? Okay, great. All right, I want you to imagine now. Fast forward, it's November of 2012, and the U.S. has just had its national elections. And neither the Republican, the Democratic, or the independent candidate has won the race. Instead, we find out that remarkably, there's been a write-in candidate who has won the election. His name is Mikey. He's 8 years old. And he likes to play Xbox and go skateboarding. Now, folks, I love my son very much, my 9-year-old. But at 9 years old, I do not think I would want to put the leadership of our country into his hands. He may be a leader one day, but at age 9, he's not my choice to be the president of our country. And yet, as we begin to explore this issue of obedience to God's word, it's exactly the scenario that we have as we take a look at the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Chapter 34 starts out, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Think about that. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. In fact, it says, he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Can you imagine that? 8 years old, king of an entire nation, and it says he did right in the sight of our God. And then it says in verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, how old is he now? Good, good. I'm just making sure you're listening. He's 16 years old while he was still a youth, and he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year of his reign, how old is he? 20. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places and the asherim and the carved images and the molten images. And he tore down the altars and the Baals in his presence and the incense altars. And he chopped down the asherim and the carved images and the molten images. And he broke it into pieces on the ground and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. In other words, Josiah, when he's 20 years old, is cleaning house. He's going in and he is rebuilding and he is cleansing the temple of God. And as we move forward, in verse 8, it says, now in his 18th year, he was 26 years old at the time, he purged the land and the house. He sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, an official of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord, his God. And they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, and delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites and doorkeepers had collected from Manasseh and Ephraim. And so he begins to go in, and he goes in to restore and to rebuild and to cleanse and to clean the house of God. And then we move down to verse 14, and it says, and Hilkiah discovers the lost book of the law. Here they are in the temple, cleansing it out. It says, when they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And they passed that word on to the scribe. And moreover, in verse 18, Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest gave me a book, and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. Here's where things begin to get really interesting. In verse 19, we see the first aspect of what it means to obey the word today. It says, when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. He heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says, when the king heard the words of the law, when he heard the word of God, he tore his clothes in repentance. It says, then the king commanded Hilkiah, Akiam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Azariah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book which has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord which is poured out on us because our fathers have not, follow this word and we'll get into it later, observed the word of the Lord, to do according to all that is written in this book. And so they continue to move on. But what I want to share with you is the first aspect of what it comes to obeying God's word is Josiah heard the word. He heard the word. But then it goes on in verse 27 and 28, and it says, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and because you humbled yourself before me, you tore your clothes and you wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. And what we see here is the next step, the progression. The first thing is they found the book, and then they read the book. So Josiah heard the word, but he didn't just hear the word. He responded to the word. He responded to the point it brought about tears of repentance and the tearing of his garments symbolizing repentance. So we see he heard, and then he responded. He humbled himself. He wept over his sin, over the sins of the nation, and he responded to God's word. I challenge you in our question this morning, when you hear God's word, what happens after you've read it? Do we sit down and put our Bibles back on the coffee tables and say, that was nice, nice little story. We'll have to tell that one to our children. Or do we actively recognize that this is the very words of God and we respond to what we have heard? But then it goes on. It says in verse 29, "Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, and all the people, from the greatest to the least, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord." Now you see the picture. Josiah, they find the book. He reads the book. He responds to the book in deep repentance and the tearing of clothes to act upon it. And then it turns right around and he gathers all the leaders and the nation and he shares the word with them. He reads it in their very presence. So he not only heard it and responded to it, but now he says, "I'm going to have everybody else hear it. I'm going to share it with them." This is very much what the Word today has been doing for 33 years. We hear the Word. The Word is being taught. And now the Word is in 42 languages, soon to be 43, for the Word today around the world. Why? Because we've heard it. We've responded to it. We now want others to hear it. So you see Josiah's progression. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at just sharing the word. Now we look at verse 31. And it says, "Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant written in this book." So Josiah heard. Josiah responded and repented. Josiah read the word then and shared it in the presence of all of the nations and all of the leaders. But then it says here that he promised and made a covenant in his heart with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant written in the book. In other words, Josiah now modeled obedience to the word. He not only heard it, he not only responded in repentance and shared it with others, but now he was prepared to do what it said, and he was going to be the chief leader of this nation to bring Israel back by modeling the very obedience through the covenant that he made before the Lord. And now look at the results. The results is, "Moreover, he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand with him. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Josiah removed all the abominations from all the lands belonging to the sons of Israel. He made all who were present in Israel to serve the Lord their God. Throughout his lifetime, they did not turn from the following the Lord God of their fathers." As a result of that obedience, Josiah rescued his generation. Do you see the progression of what happens when someone is impacted by God's word? And do not take it as just a book that of any other books or nice set of stories or some nice parables and poems. But instead, understanding that it's the very words of God, God breathed. And he heard, he responded, the response led to repentance, the repentance led to sharing of the word with others, that sharing resulted in a covenant and a commitment before the people to be obedient and to model that obedience, and as a result of that obedience, he led his nation and restored and rescued them. Now that is a wonderful picture through an 8-year-old boy who did not turn to the left or the right and served his God faithfully during that 31-year reign. As I was going through this, I've always used this passage in the past to encourage my boys and my girl whenever they said, "Daddy, I'm too young to serve." Whenever I hear a young person say, "Oh, God can't possibly use me." And I go back to these pictures and these stories. But in this particular passage, as I've been grappling through this whole issue of obedience and tying it in to Matthew 7, where at the end of that sermon, there are two definitive directions in which you go. You either go the path of obedience and acting on God's word, or you go on the path of hearing it and not acting on it. One leads to disaster. One leads to a solid foundation and life. And I began asking the Lord several weeks ago as I was studying this particular passage of a way in which I myself could ingrain and just to remember myself and to teach and to pass on to my family and to my children, what does it mean, other than this scripture and this life, to obey God's word? And in one of those things that pastors love, Pastor Doug and Paul, the Lord gave me an acrostic on the word obey. And I want to share that with you this morning, if you're taking notes at all. And I'm going to start with the O in obey and what the implications of obedience to God's word are. The O stands for to observe. To observe. In the passage that I read earlier, it says they did not observe. In other words, they did not do what the book said. And as we look at some of the Greek, as we look at some of the words, even in our modern dictionaries, here's what the word obey or observe, I hope, will conjure up and bring to your mind. It means to see, to watch, to perceive, to regard with attention, to watch and to keep and to maintain in one's action. To inspect closely, to obey, to comply with, to conform to. Now let me ask you, when you look at God's word, when you have the very words of God in your hand, and you're reading it, and you are told to observe the word, do you have that kind of mindset? Is it just a nice little reading for the day and I can check that off? I read my Bible through in the year. Or are you watching? Are you perceiving? Are you regarding and paying attention? Are you hearing and listening the word? You know, the word hear in the scripture, there's two words for hear. One is the word hear. It's like waves are coming from my mouth and going to your ear, and your ear hears those words, and you hear it. It's an audible thing that you hear. There's another passage in Scripture where the word hear means to hearken. Hear or to hearken, and here's the difference. To hear God's word is my voice goes out and you've heard it. To hearken to the words of God is a posture of sort of like the old E.F. Hutton commercials. You know, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. And it's that idea of waiting in anticipation with your ear out to strain to hear what that person is saying or to hear what God's word is saying for the very purpose of then following up and obeying what it says. That's what it means to hear God's word. And so, as you observe God's word, I pray that you would watch, that you would perceive, that you would inspect it closely, that you would comply with it, and that you would conform your life to Him. God's word was not given to us for information, near as much as it was given to us for transformation, for conforming our lives into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The B in the word obey means to believe. Now, it's not just, oh, I believe. It's to believe. And the scripture there talks and dictionaries talk about to have confidence or faith in, to accept as truth, to give credence to, conviction, to affirm in, to be persuaded of a truth. You know, in this day and age of postmodernism and relativism, we've lost that whole mooring and that whole baseline of absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute. I remember I was in college. I didn't share this during the first sermon, and I was in an English class, and my professor said, class, if there's ever one thing that you'll know, there's no such thing as absolutes. He says, listen to me, and he knew I was a believer, and he says, just remember, there are no absolutes. There is no black and white. It's all gray. There are no absolutes. And I raised my hand. I said, are you absolutely sure about that? But do we, when we look at God's word, do we understand that it is the standard of truth? Do we understand that it is something to have confidence in, that it is something to give credence to, that it's the very words of God? Psalm 119, 166 says, the sum of thy word is truth, O Lord. In other words, any way that you cut it and you slice it and you dice it, whatever you put together, the sum, totality, individually, and the sum of that is truth. So we need to observe his word. We need to believe it. The third letter, the E in obey, is the word embrace. Embrace. It means to take or clasp in your arms, to press in close to the bosom, receive gladly or eagerly, to adopt and to profess, to embrace and press in to the bosom. I want to take you back about 8 months ago. I was in Nepal, and I had just traveled from Kathmandu, and I was traveling along the Nepalese-Nepal border, and we were going on a 16-hour trip, and we came to this primitive Tharu village, and as we got there, the church was this mud floor with a thatched roof and some tin on the sides. And all the people were sitting there. The place was filled in anticipation of our arrival. And we had two things that we were bringing. Number one, we were bringing radios so that they could hear the word. And the second, for the first time ever in many of these villages, in this particular village, we brought Bibles in their language. And folks, I got to tell you, the emotion and the movement that I saw as I had the privilege of taking Bibles out of that box and handing them to them one by one, as they walked up weeping openly, weeping tears of joy and jubilation of knowing that they were about to be handed God's word. And as they took it, tears began falling down their faces onto the pages as they hugged and embraced that word. They weren't worshiping the book, the pages, the ribbon, but they knew what they had in their hand. They'd never had it before. And they embraced God's word. They wouldn't let go of it. They latched onto it. These were now going to be responsible from the pastors for sharing and to leading Bible studies and listening groups and things. But they had that sheer joy and embracing of God's word. Now, what I'm about to say may sound strange to you, but you know what I think in our country? I think one of the reasons that we've become so complacent and so lackadaisical is God's word is way too accessible for us. We can go to the dollar store. We can go to the Christian bookstore. You can go to Borders. You can go online. I would venture to say that if we took a poll across the room right now, that most of you probably have multiple Bibles in your house. Some of you may have 5, 6, 7 different Bibles, a study Bible, a New American Standard, a King James, and all the various ones out there. And I think what's happened is having such easy access to God's Word to where everyone can get it. And don't get me wrong, we need to have access to God's Word, but it's so accessible, we've lost that value. We've lost that preciousness of having the Word of God when there are 1 billion people in the world who have never even heard the name Jesus before. They've never even heard the word Jesus. And then we have thousands of others and millions of others and billions, thousands of people groups, millions in various countries where there may be one Bible for an entire village. And they actually cut it apart and they'll take it and they'll handwrite it and they'll write it down and give it to the next person so they can have copies of God's word. May we embrace God's word. So we need to observe it. We need to believe it, trust it. We need to embrace it to our bosoms. And the why in obey is the word yield. The word yield. Now it almost doesn't need a definition because there's a universal symbol for yield or for give up. Wait a minute, I'm in Milwaukee. That's probably a sign for touchdown for the Packers. Okay, all right, I know you understand touchdown, okay? But let's take the meaning. This is a universal symbol. I surrender. And the word yield there is to, when we see a stop sign, it's to yield, it's to give in. It is to give up. It is to surrender to God's word. And so as I leave you this morning, as you look at the life of Josiah and you see how he heard the word, how he responded and repented, how he shared the word, how he modeled obedience, and how he ended up rescuing his entire generation, as you observe, as you believe, as you embrace, as you yield, will you make a renewed commitment to obedience to God's word? It's interesting. In this passage that I picked up from your scripture this morning, it says, they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. We, as believers, as those who have trusted our Lord as Savior and Lord, we were not destined to disobey. We are destined to obey God's word. And finally, the word yield has a neat double meaning to it, doesn't it? When I go to a yield sign up on the road, or to give in or to surrender, to give up, that's one definition of yield. But there is also a yield. For instance, a CD can yield a certain return, or a farmer will yield a certain return on crops. And I think this is just a wonderful illustration of when we yield and give in and surrender and observe and believe and embrace and yield to God's word. It will yield a life of righteousness. It will yield the fruit of the Spirit. It will yield Christ-like character. It will yield opportunities to be able to proclaim the gospel around the nations and to rescue our generation. My prayer this morning is that you will obey God's word, that you will yield to it, but that it will yield a true harvest in your lives. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, may we never take it lightly or become complacent over it. As we've seen the life of Josiah, Lord, and how he heard and responded and shared and modeled and obeyed and rescued, may we observe your word, Lord. May we truly believe it. May we embrace it, Father, and never take it lightly. And may we yield and give in so that we may yield a life of fruit and fruitfulness and righteousness. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.